Circularity in design is something many brands are thinking about and implementing these days, going beyond recycling and upcycling materials in all sorts of products and industries. And it's something brothers Daniel and Marcus Freitag have been thinking about for many years, in reimagining the full life cycle of the materials that go into their messenger bags, backpacks, and accessories, which have made their brand known right around the world. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Daniel Bache. Today, my guest is Daniel Freitag, namesake of the Zurich-based Freitag Bag Company he launched with Marcus back in 1993. The brothers remain co-creative directors of the company, which has been recycling truck tarps, bicycle inner tubes, and car seat belts and airbags to make their bags for more than three decades. Daniel trained as a graphic designer and his brother a decorative designer, with Marcus having the idea to reuse truck tarps because he lived right next to a freeway. To this day, their products are each one-off pieces cut from tarps which are no longer used on the road. The tarps are cut, washed, and bundled together at their factory in Zurich before being stitched into bags at partner factories right around the world. Repairs are, of course, free, and there is even a sizable resale market for their wares. Recently, the company has been thinking about the full life cycle of the materials and are now working with trucking companies to design a better tarp, which can later be sewn into a bag or wallet and then broken down years later into parts that can decompose or be recycled once again. Here now is Daniel with the story of Freitag.
As an entrepreneur, I never wanted to really launch an enterprise or a company. It was a student project, basically. So you can imagine in the 90s, two students in Zurich, and we are fed up with our backpacks and wanted to have a cool messenger bag. Not available in Zurich that time. The first messenger companies popped up in New York, San Francisco, London, not so in Zurich. We tried to do it ourselves, just for us, and a lack of know-how forced us to get creative. And so we realized that there are trucks on the road of Zurich and they have tarpaulins, waterproof, strong material. And so it was a sort of a naive perspective on that business to use that material first because of the functionality. And so we discovered the uniqueness, the design and the recycling aspects of it. And so we kind of ended up with prototype of a messenger bag, which was not just only functional, but also a unique piece of accessory. And that's how it all started. Our friends liked it. And so we started to run into a small production. And from there, it started to grow.
Very interesting story. And the cool thing is that a lot of the pieces are one of a kind because they're coming off these tarps that you have recycled and are taking and giving a new life to. Talk to us about the inspiration in the early 90s, though. You mentioned looking to New York and San Francisco and other places where the bike messenger thing was kind of popular. Where did, you know, the internet was in its early days. So where were you getting inspiration? And did you have to sort of go through the process of making these bags through just trial and error?
Absolutely. I'm a graphic artist. My brother is a display artist, so a craftsman. But we didn't have know-how in terms of accessories or fashion. And so it was really, actually, I was traveling that time. I made a cycling trip through Europe, started in Zurich, went all the way up to Sweden, passed by London and ended in San Francisco. So I experienced a little bit the lifestyle of the West Coast, the messenger scene, and this was definitely part of the inspiration. The idea was born before. It was my brother, as a student, wanted to earn some money to finance his studies. And so we created this idea of producing a messenger bag. Of course, sustainability wasn't really a topic back then. For us, it was, but it was more sort of a mentality, less than it was a part of our vocabulary or that circularity was present in our mindset. So we kind of discovered it for us and appreciated all the aspects of it.
You mentioned right off the top that you didn't expect to be an entrepreneur. You weren't setting out to start a company. So how was the original prototypes, how were those received by your friends and family? And when did it become clear to you that you were going to make a business out of this?
Well, first of all, the first bag is quite shaky, not something you want to present to a wider public. Nevertheless, it's now in the Museum of Design in Zurich. But we realized there is something about it. The uniqueness, the roughness, and also somehow a little bit of Swissness, even though usually Switzerland is about perfectionism, clean and tidy up. But the bag was kind of a counterintuitive for Swiss perspectives. Nevertheless, there was a quality aspect to it and the design aspect to it. And I think this was the reaction we had. I mean, of course, we as graphic artists, we had a lot of photographers, architects in our group of friends, and they all saw this kind of potential in our first prototypes. And so, yeah, it started as a small production and started to grow into a mid-sized company with international, now with an international network for distribution.
Such a fascinating story. You know, in those early days, I'm curious about how you started to look maybe beyond Zurich. Was there, you know, just a popularity there you thought could work in other places? And how did you start going about telling people about this interesting, you know, sustainable brand, one that is reusing products and making new bags out of them? How did you go sort of sell that to the world?
The nice thing is that the story somehow sells itself. You see this unique, dirty bag, and you ask yourself, what's that? And so you start to explain, and you basically tell the story of how we produce the bags. And that's basically our marketing story. So we never invested in ads. We never made advertising for Freitag. We kind of told our story. And since there is something to tell, we realized that the press is talking, not just kind of asking for an ad, that they kind of tell your story. And you suddenly end up with a dialogue instead of placing an ad in a newspaper. And this was our experience. And that's why we kind of sticked with that. Of course, Zurich is the most expensive labor you can imagine. So it was always difficult for us also to gain the margin to afford advertising. We just didn't have the money for that. And that's why we basically stick with our concept and really had the chance to look behind the scenes and tell people how we do these things.
And was the goal always to stay in Zurich? You mentioned the cost of production. It does tell a story about being a uniquely Swiss brand, perhaps, or a unique brand in any sense. So were you concerned about staying in Zurich, or how did that go when you sort of really started to grow the production?
Well, interestingly enough, after about a year and a half, we really had the urge to look for a different location. It was hard to find a location in Zurich. It was hard to find people willing to work for our student salaries. And so actually we went to London, interestingly. I remember back then renting a bicycle and driving around Old Street in London, East London, looking for locations. Somehow we have not been successful. I think the area there was so upcoming. We saw a lot of interesting places, but nobody wanted to rent them out. I think they wanted to wait for another 2 years and raise the rents. So we kind of have not been successful in moving to London. And so we kind of stick to Zurich. But of course, we traveled a lot and tried to find interesting retailers in New York, in Berlin, in London. And this was, I think, our marketing to be represented in the right stores. So where you have a good environment and also enthusiastic store owners.
Well, that's really interesting. Obviously, it's much different today to start a brand. You can have a great web store and a great customer experience on that end and be successful without even having to go look for that network of shops. But how did you think about getting into stores? Were you thinking about the right stores, curating that list, or just sort of seeing where interest took you?
Since it's a bike messenger bag, we usually always discover the cities by bike. We didn't make appointment in advance. We basically walk into stores we liked. We started to talk to the store owners, more asking them about the city rather than trying to sell them our product. And somehow they grew interest in what we do, and we told the story of how we do the bags, and suddenly we have been in business together. So I think it was really kind of building up relationships with cool stores rather than trying to sell them something.
Just to walk back a little bit for our audience, talk to me a little bit about the actual production. I want to obviously talk about the very interesting materials you're working with today and sort of your new vision for circularity. But how are you getting these tarps, and what was the relationship with trucking companies?
Well, the trucking industry is obviously totally different from the culture that we sell our products into. It was really attractive to us, you know, like the freeway, the trucks, kind of this image of the truck stops. I don't know. It was just kind of an inspiration by itself. Of course, they always had the feeling, what do these strange young students want from us? And why do they pay for our trash? It was an interesting relationship. It was interesting, you know, in our studio, when somebody was having a phone call with a trucking company, you could tell from far away, you suddenly had a different voice. More straightforward and try to adjust a little bit to the culture. So it was a contrast, but at the same time, also part of our image. The material itself obviously is not ideal. It's not circular. We have been a solution for a problem. We give a second life to a material which otherwise would be a problematic trash. And I think this is still why it's still valid to recycle that material, because I think this is an important factor for circularity as well. Clothing, give them a second life, reuse them a second time. I think this also in terms of Ellen MacArthur circularity ratings, I think this is super important to extend the life of products. And I think this is what we basically did. We extended the life of a material which was good enough for a bag, but not working as a truck anymore. And I think what we realize nowadays is that circularity really has to go a step further. So now we have to close the cycle. And we are at the end of the supply chain. And so we see that the trucking industry is not really going into this initiative by itself. And that's where we see a role for Freitag to initiate the shift towards circularity. And that's why we launched the kind of circular TARP initiative.
Well, that's so interesting. Obviously, when you started out, there wasn't this crazy interest in sustainability, which is wonderful. Now consumers are demanding it. Companies want to spearhead this innovation. So talk to me just a little bit about how you changed that. Obviously, the bag is sort of the end of life for this material, as you say, and it can be repaired. It gets worn out. But you're thinking now about what the full life cycle is.
Yeah, I think circularity, sustainability has many aspects. Of course, we also try to extend the life of Freitag bags. As you mentioned, you can let them repair at Freitag. We also launched an application, a swap application, kind of a bag Tinder where you can swipe through bags from other users. And maybe you don't want to sell or get rid of your Freitag bag, but you're a little bit open for a new color or a new design. So we basically make a matchmaking and we bring our users together and say like, okay, maybe we can extend the life of the bag if you extend it with another user. So there's other aspects already in our existing business case, but we also realize that we need to initiate a shift in material. So I think it's all about really material technology. Now we have materials technology and supply chains where you really have to close the cycles and be aware of what sort of materials to use in the first place without quality loss, recycle it. And I think this is really to do with chemistry, has to do with partnerships. I think it's a team sport. You really need to have industrial partnerships. So it's not just a little bag company from Switzerland which can change the way bags are made. So we really need to have collaborations with other corporations and build a network for circular tarps.
And how's that been going so far? Obviously, you said you didn't set out to be a sustainable brand. It just was that. And I imagine along the way, you've made changes to your production and changes to your materials that help you perform even better, we can say. But what about those partnerships? How's that been going in helping you sort of grow the message and stay on track with what you're trying to do here?
One key partner is EPEA from Hamburg. They are really the material technologists, and they are also bringing all together the chemistry know-how needed in this project. And I think they are one of our key partners. And then now we work with different industrial partners like the chemistry industry. We have trucking companies, which could be the first use of the material. We have all kinds of companies along our supply chain. And I think that's also what you have to do. You have to combine business cases. It's just kind of to make a circle. A tarp will probably never be competitive enough price-wise with the existing materials. But if you kind of also go on a level of business case, when you say like, okay, you can join the tarp business together with a bag business, and together we can build a cycle which also is economically sustainable. And I think that's the big challenge, because you probably are more expensive in the beginning. So you need to also invest a lot in communication. The customers need to be ready to pay extra for the circularity and the sustainability. And I think this is also where we see a little bit the role of Freitag. I think we can bring this message to our consumers, and that's probably something which the trucking company itself is not aware of or is not a goal for them.
So if I'm understanding this right, you are actually working to create a material that will go into that original tarp that the trucking companies are using. Is that correct? I mean, I don't know the business plan of a lot of trucking companies, but I imagine it's on efficiency mostly, right? So that they don't want to raise their costs too much. So how does that work in getting them to get on board with this mission?
Well, I think this is the question of, at the moment, you take virgin material and you kind of use it for a life of a truck and then you waste it. And I think that's where you have to make the business case over time. So basically, who is the owner of the material? And is it interesting always to buy new virgin materials? The cost of virgin materials will raise sooner or later. And so I think that's why it is interesting to invest now in closed cycles where you say like, okay, you keep the ownership of the basic materials and you have then participants along the the life cycle of this material to participate in this business case. And I think that's what you need to create, a network of partners which all have a role along this long journey of material.
You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Daniel Bage. The second part of my interview with Daniel Freitag is coming up.
Dubai Tourism is proud to partner with The Entrepreneurs on Monocle 24. Dubai is one of the most dynamic and innovative cities on the planet in which to do business, and a place where you can enjoy unrivaled quality of life. Dubai should be your destination, whether you're looking to start a new venture or take your career to the next level. Aurel Fond is the founder and CEO of real estate firm Lux Habitat, which has recently partnered with Sotheby's International Realty. Originally from Barcelona, he says the quality of life in Dubai is world class.
We want to be here long term, as we really believe in this market. When we started, we saw that this market had really strong foundations. There are many reasons, but to me, the one that is the key is the fact that it's the only city in the region, and in, I would say, several thousands of kilometers, that is business friendly and has this type of lifestyle. It's a city that can compare with many other Western cities in terms of entertainment, overall quality of life, and obviously this has attracted companies to be established here in the country, and talent, employees, to work for those companies.
Aurel Fond. Dubai, the future of business is here.
And what's your vision for what happens to the material at the end of its use?
Well, first of all, we see that Freitag is able to be the end of use. So we produce from the tarpaulins, we produce bags. We try to repair them, to use them as long as possible. But now you can give them back to Freitag and we will kind of bring these mono materials to the industry. And so instead of using virgin new materials, they can use our old bags to produce new tarps again. So it's that simple and that difficult.
Very, very interesting. Obviously, we're in a time where, as we've said, many more people are interested in this. What's the reaction been like with your clientele? Obviously, they're happy to come along with this mission, but you're essentially doing the same thing as you've always done. You're just trying to improve along the way. How are people taking you up on giving the bags back and things like that?
Well, I think Freitag has an extremely sustainable image, and I think the beauty is that now the awareness for sustainability and circularity is growing really much wider. And I think that's why we also can find those industrial partners and they realize they need to invest in circularity as well. I think we have been in the 90s, people just didn't understand what's the point about it. Of course, it was also the design aspect, the uniqueness, which gave us reason enough to do it. But now I think we have a widely recognition of the importance to close those cycles. And I think that's why we now see that also on an executive level, the doors pop open and we see that people listen to those concepts. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think that's, of course, the urgency is obvious. That's the pity of it, that we have to do it. It's not just a nice to have, it's a must. And I think there we try to play our role as an honest, sustainable company where sustainability is already in its DNA and not just a marketing concept which you put on top of it.
Yeah, very well said. We are in a time now where obviously a lot more people are interested in cycling as well, particularly through the pandemic. You mentioned already that's the way that you've always liked to explore cities and get around and even do business in going to see different partners and talk to different shops. How important has that been for Freitag in the last little while?
Well, I think the cycling culture was always connected with Freitag. We are not the messenger company. We make everyday bags for all kinds of people and all kinds of lifestyles. So I think we're much wider nowadays. Nevertheless, we always stick to the core and we always kind of felt attracted to the bicycle industry and scene. So you always could go to a Freitag store and rent a bicycle for free. Now in Zurich, we have these cargo bikes in front of our stores, which you can rent out and use. So it's a sort of a sharing concept. So we always try to connect ourselves to that because we see that it's one thing. You don't need a bag to sit at home. You need a bag when you're on the move. And so the bicycle is for us the perfect symbol and the perfect mobility that goes along with our bags. And that's where we also invest and look for partnerships. We just had a nice cooperation with Brompton Bicycle from England. And so I think we definitely feel a connection to the bicycle industry.
Well, I've certainly noticed the Brompton bags, seen a few around town here, which is fantastic. You know, the interesting thing, and you already mentioned that the bags and the company sort of tells its own story. And the most interesting thing is a lot of brands now rely on, we can say, limited drops or you know, exclusive products. But you have that in every product you make. They're all unique.
Absolutely true. Obviously, we also need to bring newness and freshness to our collection. Maybe you saw the Stratos bag, where we shifted our materials to used airbags from cars. So we always explore. We try to find new materials, not just the long-term initiative, which I just mentioned, which is the circular tarp, but also play around with shapes, play around with stories. And so the shift to this material of airbags is just perfect for Freitag.
And just tell us what the market is for sort of trading these bags and the secondhand market. You sort of alluded to it earlier where people could log on and maybe look for something a little bit different. How important is that to the company? I imagine in the early days, that was something that was a badge of honor for people that wore these around town. And they had this unique bag that they would keep for many years. But what's the sort of second life and secondhand market for these?
Well, we see that there is not just big fans, that there are even collectors. There's this specific hashtag for Freitag, which is not Freitag, but FRTG. And if you look for this hashtag, you just find thousands and thousands of user-generated pictures where people show their bags in different situations. And we just see that there is a community which is not even moderated from Freitag, but just kind of popped up because, yeah, that the material and the bags are so unique. And this is just beautiful to see. And we see that there was a lot of exchange already. They used platforms to sell you stuff, the familiar ones. And we just had the feeling, okay, we could provide a service to make it even easier for our customers. So you basically just press the button in the web shop where you have your profile and suddenly the bag, the pictures of the bag are already there. And so it's just very convenient to interact with other Freitag users. And I think these are more service aspects. Of course, you could say, okay, but if people trade a bag, then they don't buy a new one. Perfect. I mean, yeah, you could say from a business point of view, we should try to sell them a second bag. Instead, we try to encourage them to swap. And I think on a long term, that's what people appreciate. They feel safe. You don't want to trap them into a business. You want to be an honest brand and have a see the customer more as a partner than a target group.
Really interesting. You know, from a business perspective, obviously, you growing the company and growing the brand, that is great in selling more bags. But as you say, as things become more circular, people are hanging on to things a little bit longer. How do you think about that in a business sense? You know, obviously, you have a cost of production and a cost to stay viable. But what's the most important thing for you as a company now that you've been doing this for almost 30 years?
Well, I think at this point, it's probably good to zoom out and say, like, of course, you want to have a healthy, successful business. But overall, I think we need to change our perception of what the purpose of businesses is. And I think this is exactly the word purpose. So what is the core purpose? It's not sell bags. This is how we earn our money and the business we do. But our purpose is to provide logistic solutions for urban people in a circular way. And I think this is really what we have to focus on. And of course, companies need to go through a phase of growth. You need to have a specific size for maybe the area you are working in. There's minimum order quantities, things like that. So you probably need to grow to a certain size. But I think growth and prosperity is not the same. And I think you can really have a lot of prosperity, but not always kind of an endless growth. And I think that's where, not just at Freitag, I think overall we have to shift our focus and say, like, prosperity and the growth has to be maybe on the social standards and not just on the turnover.
Well, there's always more to do, I guess. And I wonder if that's what has kept you energized and interested in this company that you've started. You mentioned before we got into the interview that you don't really have a specific title, but you like to be involved in the creative side of things. So how has this been for you, this journey, and how inspired are you to continue to grow it?
Well, I see that the relevance of Freitag and especially the values behind Freitag is growing in relevance. I see that Freitag has a lot of inspirational power. I think there's many students which kind of are inspired by our business from student to multinational small business brand. And I think probably our impact is bigger on the inspiration than on the amount of material or turnover we do. And I think this is a role I perfectly like. I like to inspire. I like to be an example of how the shift towards a more circular economy could go. And I think this is probably also the responsibility we have to really communicate our story, to inspire people and invest in this circular future.
I alluded to the fact that you're not very concerned about titles for yourself, but you also have a very interesting company structure. How does that play into the overall mission you're talking about there?
Well, we see that Freitag was obviously founded by two brothers, so we are already used to kind of share responsibility. And I think it's probably a big mistake for many entrepreneurs that they kind of sit too much on the chief chair for too long. And I think for us, it was always an important aspect to share responsibility. For us, about 5 years ago, we shifted to a system called Holacracy. It's a distributed hierarchy and not a delegated. And I think this is just a different way of collaboration. And I think this is important to Freitag and also to the culture of Freitag, that we can really have a deep involvement of all our team members and that they can bring their expertise to the table.
Well, we often hear this, that the people that are the best at these companies are the ones that are entrepreneurial themselves. And I imagine there's some incredibly creative and brilliant minds that work for you. What's it like to work at Freitag and sort of what are the types of people that stay there long term?
Yeah, it's people which have an intrinsic motivation. They not only join there because they have a certain job they want to do, I think often it's because they identify with the purpose of Freitag and want to be part of that kind of culture. And I think the culture fit is, I would say, 50% of the success for a long-term kind of work relationship. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people who identify with Freitag and have a lot of expertise for the field they're working in. And I think if you find that balance, then you really can have also a career within Freitag. And that's the beauty also of our new organizational system. It's not just a big career step in terms of leading people. It's also that you can kind of shift into new responsibilities, add accountabilities to your role, shift into new roles. And I think we are much more agile in the way of people can bring in their expertise, learn and grow with the company.
And what about your relationship with your brother? Is that still key to the company?
I think we always had different phases. We had phases where we really had kind of every meeting, kind of we sat on the same table. We had phases where my brother was working on a different angle of the company or aspect. And I think this is always kind of in motion. At the moment, we focus on new diversification projects, which are not always the same. So my brother has different projects on his table than I do. But we also meet on the board table of Freitag and try to help and support our first baby. Which is not a baby anymore.
No, not at all. And I wanted to ask you just about retail specifically. Obviously, now there can be a great web store, there can be great shipping, people can have access to these bags anywhere in the world. But how important are those retailers to you and your own stores?
I think we need all of them. I think shift only to online would be a pity. Having good retailers where your brand is represented next to other products with share maybe the same mindset helps really to position the brand. At the other hand, having our own Freitag stores where you present whatever 3,000 Freitag bag, unique bag, and really have the little temple of Freitag is super important and has kind of an antenna aspect to it. All those channels have importance to us. And I think to find the right balance and to find the right role for this distribution channel is perfectly important. I think our retail partners, they give us so good feedback, we don't want to miss them. At the other hand, the direct dialogue with our online customers helps us also to learn things we probably otherwise wouldn't hear. And so I think to find a good balance between own channels and distribution channels, which are run by other people, I think this is a good mix is the key.
Just talk to me about the plans for the next little while, the next 5 years, say 10 years. I don't know how far ahead, Daniel, you look with Freitag, but obviously you are, as a brand, a known entity, and that carries a little bit of weight in the work that you've been able to do with bigger companies and partners and things like that. But what do you see as being the mission of Freitag for the next, let's say, 5 years?
I mean, we already talked about an important aspect, to really invest into the circularity. I think we are a sustainable business. We have a recycling idea from the first day on, but to really close that cycle, that's mission number one. Of course, we have still many bags which we haven't designed yet. We have many markets which we just gain popularity and see that the people are just discovering Freitag. That's great to see. And I think it's also for us a personal goal to shift this mindset towards new offers. So basically bring solutions to people on the move. And this can be in the form of an accessory, but I think there's more option to that. And I think this is my personal goal also to discover new aspects to serve the same purpose.
Well, very well said. And it's so interesting to talk to you, Daniel. You know, I've been seeing your bags on the street for many, many years, most of my life. So it's wonderful to hear the story directly from you and to understand where you came from and where you're going. So thanks for your time.
Thanks so much.
Daniel Freitag, co-founder of Freitag, speaking to me from our studio in Zurich. You can learn more about the company and its production methods at freitag.ch. My thanks to Monocle's Desiree Banley in our Zurich bureau and Jack Jewers, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening and goodbye.